Good day to you all, and welcome to SP 101, a production of The Way Church, where we hope to disciple you through what we call sermon prep. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your studies today. All right, let's get started today with our memory verse. Again, you were to write John 4:23, and we're working on the memorization of that, and obviously, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Question number two on Thursday is where we are, picking back up after we completed Wednesday the other day. Question number two says, read John 4:24 through 26, which reads, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. The first part of that question asked you, what did Jesus tell the woman? Obviously, he said, I who speak to you am he. But his message to her was loud and clear. I am the Messiah. And I think it's really awesome, you know, Jesus in this interaction with her left no doubt who he was. Jesus had explained to her some things that made the woman and pointed the woman to the fact that she thought Jesus to be a prophet. But this conversation led to worship and then to the Messiah and the Messiah telling us all things. And then Jesus clearly states to her that he is the Messiah, and I think that's something that we really need to understand, that in this woman's situation, Jesus left no doubt to who he was. Second part of that question said, in the woman's mind, she was battling, how would Jesus know she had five husbands and the one that she was currently with was not her husband? Initially, she thought he was a prophet. And where do these verses reveal her mind is headed? And so her mind is headed to a place that of who this man really is, you know, and she goes to worship, she goes to other things, but one of the things that I think we need to realize is she's understanding that this is a very different conversation and one that is pointed in a very different direction. So again, the conversation goes from a prophet to worship to him being the Messiah. And then the third part of that question says, discuss verse 26, which says, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And again, it's just reiterating, but Jesus leaves no doubt that he is the Messiah. He says that it is the Messiah that is speaking to you. And I think it's neat to understand that the woman knew of the Messiah. So there's she had been taught that the Messiah will come. She had been taught that when the Messiah comes, that he would tell them all things, that he would reveal to them and teach them. And so I think that obviously she was connected to a knowledge of what the Messiah was going to bring. And then Jesus point blank tells her he is the Messiah. In question number three, says read John 4:27, which reads, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? And I ask you to define marvel, and the word marvel in the Greek is thaumazo, and it means to wonder at, further in the definition, it means that which arrests the attention and causes a person to stand or gaze or pause. It just grabs a hold of you in wondering what's going on. And the second question, and the second part of question number three, says, why would the disciples, and I left the word not out in your sermon prep, so you're probably wondering, where is this question coming from? But it's, why would the disciples not ask the questions they were obviously thinking? You know, why is he talking to the Samaritan woman? Why is he talking to this woman at all? You know, why did we come to Samaria? There's just some questions they had that obviously they were not asking. And so the question is, why would they not? And I believe completely that it's an authority issue. I think that, you know, they were being taught by Jesus. They were they trusted his, you know, what he was doing in so many ways. And then in another sense, yes, they would be full of doubt and full of wonder and full of what is going on. But at the same time, he was basically blowing their mind with the things that he was doing and how he was running so against the tradition and the religion of the day. Number four on Thursday says, read John 4:28-30. It reads, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. So, first part of that question four says, what did the woman do? Well, she left her water pot. We'll come back to that in just a second. But she left her water pot. She went into the city and she told the men, that come and see this man who told me everything that I did. What did she say is the part two of that question. And the emphasis is just come and see. That's been a message in the Bible a lot. Come and see the man that told me everything I ever did. And then who did she say it to? She said it to the men. The men were in authority. The men would be the ones that would in turn speak it to others. And ultimately the men would be the ones that would have to be convinced of this, of who he was. So what did she ask? She asked the question, could this be the Christ? And part five of that question says, discuss her question and the problem with her question. And, you know, her question was, you know, you guys, we have been told about the Messiah. We've been told that the Messiah was coming. We've been told that the Messiah would tell us all things, would teach us. And this man just told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And the men had not even had interaction with Jesus yet. So that question, you know, was a spark of curiosity, a spark of whatever. But, you know, there was a place in her mind that she was definitely headed to and was asking them, what is the problem with her question? Well, the problem with her question is, you know, it doesn't reveal that she was all the way there. You know, asking the question, could he be the Christ, is not necessarily revealing that she believes that he's the Christ. I personally believe that she came to that knowledge. I don't believe that, you know, when Jesus said he needed to go to Samaria, I believe that it was to specifically see this woman and to have this conversation, this interaction, which would labor in the fields and create a harvest. But I also, think that it reflects and shows some things that we all have to go through. And, you know, she was in process of getting her mind wrapped around, this is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Part five of that question, or part six, is how does this same thing happen today? And I think it's an easy connect that today we have a lot of people that flirt with Jesus, a lot of people that consider surrendering their life to Christ, that get in a place where they believe a lot of things about Jesus, but they fall short of believing that he will be their Savior, that he can be the Lord of their life, and to take care of them and to rule over them and to be the authority by which they live. And so I think that, you know, it's a place that you got to get past. Part seven in that question number four says, where was the woman's water pot? And I think this is just neat that, you know, she left her water pot there at the well. Part eight of that says she came to the well thinking about the physical. She left with the well thinking about the spiritual. Explain. And so I think all of this, I think seven and eight go together. You know, it was an ordinary day for this woman. She was going about her regular happenings. She was headed to the well to get water for the day. She chose a time where she wouldn't be around a lot of people because I believe her to be somewhat of an outcast in society and in the community because of the number of husbands that she had, because of the fact that she was not married to the man that she was currently with. And so I believe that she chose that time of day purposefully to kind of by herself go and get the water needed for the day. And so she goes to the well completely focused on the physical aspects of her day. You know, let me go get the water. Let me come back. I got, a million things to do. And then all of a sudden, she has the interaction with Jesus, and she has an encounter with the Messiah. And when she has that encounter, it absolutely rocks her world in such a way that the need for the water and the rest of the day kind of just sits still for a moment, and she leaves that well focused on the spiritual. She goes to find the men and say, listen, come and see what happened to me. So I think the thing to focus on here is that she was very much concerned about the physical, but when you have an encounter with Jesus, he drives you very quickly to the spiritual and the spiritual aspects of your life. They'll be reflected in the physical, yes, but Jesus focuses on what's inside you and what the spiritual realm of your life, and we have to know and understand that. Question 5 says, read John 4, 31 through 38, which reads, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for there are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And so as we read that passage, then we have a question. What does the phrase in the meantime tell you in this scripture? Well, I think it's really a neat thing. In the meantime, it tells us that, okay, the lady has left. She's headed to town to tell the men what has taken place and to come and meet this man who's told me everything I said. Can he be the Messiah? And so we're headed back to town to come and see this man. So the lady is coming with the men. At the same time, the disciples, have witnessed him talking to the woman and then the woman leaving, and then they walk up to him and say and encourage him to eat. So it's a lot happening at one time. And say, what does in the meantime tell you? It means while all of this was going on, this over here was taking place. Part two of that question says, so the woman is off telling the men to come and see. They are then headed to the well. The disciples had earlier left Jesus to go get something to eat. They are now encouraging Jesus to eat. What is the Lord's response to them? And I think it's important for us to pay attention to all that he said. He said, verse 32 says, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Now this sparked another question and concern of the disciples, in which they said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And then in verse 34, Jesus says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so I think it's important for us to pay attention to that Jesus' response. He said, I'm sustained, I'm fulfilled, I am nourished by doing the work of the one who sent me, by doing the work of the Father. Part 3 of question 5 says, verse 35 says, do you not say, and I left out the word you in that question, in that part of the verse, so kind of have to go back and read it the right way. Verse 35 says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months until the harvest? Behold, I say, lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest." You see, the woman and the men are coming to Jesus. Let me back up on that. I just messed that all up. Says verse 35 says, "Do you not say that there are still 4 months until the harvest? Behold, I say, lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest." You see, the woman and the men are coming to see Jesus, and Jesus was telling his disciples to look up their eye. I mean, to lift up their eyes to see that the woman was bringing the harvest to them, and that is absolutely what is the disciples are about to do. Is Jesus, if you read the rest of those verses, he's explaining to them that they're going to reap and sow where they haven't labored. And I think that that's a cool thing. When you read, you know, what I asked you, I said discuss and describe how this happens today. I believe this happens often, that people... the woman gave a testimony, okay? They basically, she went and testified of an interaction with Jesus. And when we speak of testimony, we're not always talking about you standing up and saying, "This is when I was saved," and you going through your salvation testimony. But hopefully we have a testimony of Christ Jesus' activity in our life daily, in the things that he does and says and leads and directs and teaches in his word and how he shows us things. So what I believe is happening here is, and how it happens today, is I believe that you guys are out there testifying. You guys are out there telling people about Christ and the activity in his life and what's going on at your church and what is taking place in church. And so, you know, the next thing you know, you say is, come to church with me. Come, you invite them to church. Come and see what's going on, man. See how the love of the people and how they love the Lord and the Lord's working. Well, that testimony is just like that, the lady at the well's testimony. You know, it sparks an interest and it brings people to come and see. And then as they are approaching the church, you know, our teachers, our ministers, your pastor has the opportunity to reap and to work in a harvest that you labored. And sometimes it is you that leads them to the Lord, but sometimes it's us that has the blessing and the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. But it's your work, it's your hands to the plow, it's you planting the seeds and you testifying that leads to that. Question 6 on Thursday says, read John 4, 39 through 42. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I had ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And so part one of that question said, why did many Samaritans believe? Well, you got to understand this, and looking at the word, many believed because of the testimony of the woman. And so I would tell you today, the same thing happens, that many believe and come to know Christ because of your testimony, because of people seeing in you Christ Jesus. And so therefore they have they believe in Christ because your level of testimony is so strong. And I think that you need to be aware of that. Part two of that question is your testimony important? And explain, man, your testimony leads to so many people's surrender that you have no idea. And so that you have to continue to testify at the workplace, in the family, in relationships, and all that you do. You've got to testify of who Jesus Christ is and what is taking place in and through your life through the action of Jesus and the Spirit of God in and through what you're doing. Because that testimony leads to others coming to know Christ and believing and trusting in him as Lord because of a seed that you plant and because of a spark that you ignite. And so I think it's important for you to understand that about your testimony. Question 3, Was a woman's testimony a testimony of salvation? How would you describe her testimony? I don't necessarily believe that her testimony was a testimony of salvation of what we received, you know, in the scripture, because she was there and she was testifying of what Jesus did, and he told me everything that I ever did. But I think, you know, she asked the question, could this be the Christ? I think she was headed in a direction that, you know, I've met the Messiah. I'm sure at some point in time in the conversation, she said, he says he is the Messiah. Well, I think that we need to understand that, and we have to pay attention to that. Our testimony does not always have to be the testimony of salvation. It can be a testimony of, this is what Jesus spoke to me. This is what Jesus did in my life. This is how Jesus protected my son, my daughter, my wife, whatever. And question number four says, part four of question number six says, why did many more believe? Well, many more believe because of Jesus' own word. And I think that that's something else that you need to understand, that your testimony many times leads people to the next aspect or the next step in their salvation, and that it may be that your testimony sparks them to come to church, or sparks them to read the scripture, or sparks them to listen to a message. And then it is that the word of Christ then that touches them and leads them to the Lord. And so be very diligent to testify the power of Jesus in and through your life. And then part five says, what is revealed in verse 42 that's important for the woman's sake? And I just believe it says, then the woman said, then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I believe that Jesus, I believe that she surrendered to him as the Messiah. She believed that he was the Messiah. I believe that we don't get the whole story in these scriptures. We don't get every detail, but obviously there was more to it because the woman said, he told me everything I ever did. So I think that, you know, we need to understand that and be thankful that we have a process, you know, that we can lean on, that Jesus is constantly pulling and taking us. And so she started out in a place of, could this be the Messiah? I believe she finishes that he is the Messiah. I believe she further testified, and it wasn't just her words that moved people to salvation, but it was a very big part of people being moved to salvation. Question seven for Thursday says, have you ever been called to leave your water pot? And what is or was your water pot? And the thing that you had to put down so that you were not weighed down to do the work of Jesus Christ. And what is that like? And what is that like for the woman what was that like? What was it like for the woman as you read the scripture? And so what I want you to do is really think about that and write a time where you were called by the Lord to put something down. To some people, it's to change a career. For me, it was to step full time in the ministry. And man, it was a very hard thing for me to do, a scary thing. It took me a long time before I was willing to relinquish a career and what I felt like was future security and education and all those things. But I eventually had to put that down to walk full time in Christ. And I will be honest with you, it's exactly what happened with this woman. I was clinging to a career and clinging to education and all of those things because it provided for me and provided well and enabled me to take care of my family and do all these things. But really what was at hand was a spiritual issue of trusting God with everything that we had and all that we were, and stepping out and doing his work and doing what he said and laboring in the ministry. And so the beauty of that is I said yes, and his loving arms were certainly there to take care of me and to provide. So really, really take that part and take number seven very seriously and spend some time really working on that. And I think you'll see the Lord's hand powerfully in that. So let's close in prayer. What a great day that we've got to do God's work. And so may we do so with the right heart attitude. Father God, we love you and praise you and trust you. Thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I just want to at this time lift up my dear nephew and his family and Brooke and Mike. And Lord, as they are in a battle right now with Cassie and the accident. And Lord, we just pray your loving hand and arms would be on her. And God, I just pray for all those that are listening to this. And God, I pray that you will use this to disciple them and to mold them and to shape them. And God, that they will become stronger because they have stepped out and allowed your word to speak to them and to teach them. God, we love you and praise you. We ask you to go with us in all things and allow us to do your work in everything that we touch. In Jesus' name, amen.